Hi, I'm Perry, and this is Chemist Corner. Hello, and welcome to Chemist Corner, the program dedicated to helping you become a better creator of cosmetic products. I'm Perry Romanowski. This is day 10 of our series, 30 Days to Become a Better Cosmetic Chemist. Being able to create functional formulations is not enough to be an excellent cosmetic chemist. You also need to know how to support the claims that your company wants to make about your products. In today's episode, we'll be talking about claims testing. Specifically, we'll cover the role that the formulator has in claim support and give you some tips on how you can support your cosmetic claims. Before we begin the main part of today's lessons, it would be helpful to talk about why cosmetic formulators should care about claims. There are three main reasons that we have claims: differentiating your products, spurring innovation, and keeping your company out of trouble. Let's talk about how claims help you differentiate your product from your competitors. The reality is that most cosmetics products on the market right now work well for what they do. And while there may be some aesthetic differences like the feel, the fragrance, and the color, the actual function of the products can pretty much be the same. In theory, everyone can create products just as good as everyone else. The cosmetic industry is not technology-driven. It is marketing story-driven, and one of the key elements of a good marketing story is the claims that you can make about your products. Claims are where products differentiate themselves. The claims are the things that your advertisements can talk about. They are the things you can demonstrate in videos. They are the statements about the product that gets people to buy them. Now, don't get me wrong. You need to produce good formulas. But once you get to a point of being good enough, it will be your claims and your marketing that gets people to buy your products. Another benefit of learning about claims and how to support them is that it can spur innovation. When I was working on supporting a claim we wanted to make, I made a discovery that led to my first patent. I developed this method for quickly washing hair, and it turned out I stumbled on a technology that made hair more resistant to losing color. Only through my claims investigation would I have found this technology. Finally, learning how to support claims will help keep your company out of trouble. In the US and around the world, it is illegal to make false claims. Whenever your company wants to say something about your products and how they work, they rely on their cosmetic chemist to provide them with the supporting evidence. As a product developer, you are expected to be able to come up with reasonable tests which demonstrate that your company's advertising is truthful. Now that you know why it's important for you to learn about claims and how to support them, it makes sense to clarify our terms by going over exactly what we mean by claim. In general, a claim is any statement related to the product's identity, function, and performance. Claims are made to inform your consumer what the product will do for them and also help differentiate you from the competition. Often the company with the best claims about their products will be the ones who does the best in the marketplace. There are essentially seven categories of claims, and we're going to go through each of them. This includes claims about the product's physical and chemical properties, safety and efficacy claims. There are also subjective claims, cultural claims, implied claims, and endorsements. Claims about the physical and chemical properties of your products are ones in which the advertising emphasizes something about the product that will impress the consumer. Claims like pH balanced or concentrated formula are examples of these. Another common example is when cosmetic manufacturers give consumers extra bonus product like 40% more. These types of claims are relatively straightforward to support. You simply take the pH of your formula to support the pH balance claim, or you determine the mass of your product to support the 40% more, and you record your data. Safety-related claims are those that prove that the product is safe. For example, claims like hypoallergenic, tear-free, or formulated for sensitive skin. Claims like these have been around for a long time, and there are well-established human clinical tests that companies can run to support the validity of the claim. Research continues in this area, and now there are some in vitro tests that are acceptable for supporting safety claims. Objective efficacy claims are those related to the function of the product and how well it works. The specific claims depend on the type of product you are formulating. Products for skin make moisturizing claims. Products for hair make conditioning claims. And when you see the SPF number on a sunscreen, this is also an efficacy claim. Like safety claims, there are some industry-established tests that can support the claims you might want to make. These can be both instrumental and human subject tests. Typically, animal testing is avoided, but not in all cases. Next are subjective efficacy claims. These are claims related to how people perceive your product is working. For example, claims like the product smells fresher or it leaves the skin feeling softer are all subjective. The support for these claims really just requires a group of human subjects to get feedback from them. They use your products and you get their feedback. You will often see in commercials disclaimers on claims like these indicating how it is supported. If you ask the right question or pick the right control, you can get some impressive sounding claims using this approach. The fifth category of claims are what I call cultural claims. These are claims that appeal to a specific group of consumers. Usually the claims are not related to performance, but rather about the impact of the product on the environment or society. So claims like not tested on animals, cruelty-free, biodegradable, or uses fair trade ingredients are all examples of this. You specifically tailor your claim to address the consumer that you think is the consumer of your product. The sixth category of claims are implied claims. These are statements that imply a type of functionality that may or may not exist. These claims rely on the consumer to already have some impression about the ingredient that is being called out. For example, you frequently see products that claim to be, quotes, formulated with moisturizing aloe or, quotes, made with vitamins. The aloe or the vitamins in these formulas may have zero measurable impact on the performance, but just adding them on the label is enough to convince people that there is an effect. Support for these types of claims just require that you actually put some of the ingredient in your formula. You can also use published literature to support these types of implied claims. The final category of claims are endorsements. These claims use a perceived authority to endorse the quality of your product. They are much like the implied claims in that no testable statements has to be made. This is pretty effective in the cosmetic industry, which explains why there's so many celebrities who are associated with beauty products. In addition to celebrities, endorsements may also take the form of dermatologists, doctors, beauty bloggers, or anyone else that your company might believe would be useful for helping to communicate the quality of your products. There really isn't much you need to do to support these claims beyond actually having the support of the person giving the endorsement. As I said earlier, your product claims help you stand out from the competition. To do this, companies often will make comparisons. There's a range of comparisons that you can make, and some are easier to support than others. The easiest type of comparison to make is a general claim compared to not using the product. These claims refer to what the product does and are relatively easy to support. The next level of comparison is to make a claim versus an older product. Typically, companies compare their product to their former product. For example, made with X percent more conditioner or X percent more conditioning or great new fragrance. These are easy to support too, since you're comparing it to a product that you previously made. Harder comparison claims are those made against a competitor, but these are some of the most compelling. Essentially, you need to run some kind of test that demonstrates in whatever area you are claiming that your product is better. You have to show that it actually is. This was famously done in the late 1970s when Pepsi demonstrated that their product was preferred to Coke. This type of claim is difficult to make, and even worse is that the company you compare yourself to might take you to court. This is why we don't see these types of comparison claims in the cosmetic industry. It's just very difficult to support these types of claims. Finally, there are also absolute claims that can be made about your product. For example, you might see something like the best skin moisturizer in the world or the greatest hairstyling product. As you can imagine, these claims are extremely difficult to support, so you don't see them made very much. To validate them, you'd have to compare yourself to every product out there, so it's really, really difficult to do. However, sometimes claims like these are made and they are so exaggerated that they count as puffery. Puffery is a term used to describe claims that are so outlandish that no reasonable person would be expected to believe them. Or they refer to claims that use words that have no defined meaning. For example, claiming that your product is natural or all natural requires almost no support because the term natural means nothing. Anyone can support a claim that their product is natural since nothing supernatural has ever been demonstrated to exist. The term natural really has no meaning legally. As a product developer, your main tasks as related to product claims is twofold. First, you're going to be asked to come up with claims about your product. And second, you're going to be asked to support the claims that your company wants to make. There is no magic formula for coming up with compelling claims about your products. Companies spend lots of time and money trying to generate the perfect claim. However, there are a few things that have worked. You can generate new claims through personal brainstorming. Think about the product and come up with things that you can say about it. You can also generate new claims by searching through scientific literature looking for new technological discoveries. You can also participate in consumer research interviews to get consumers to come up with the new claims for your product. Finally, you can see what types of claims your competition is making and figure out if you can make an even more impressive version. At most companies, the marketing or advertising people are responsible for the product claims, but as a formulator, you are in a good position for coming up with technologically based claims. While generating claims will not be your main job, supporting or substantiating them, however, may be. To get better as a cosmetic chemist, you will need to learn how to support most claims. The reality is there are no specific rules about how you substantiate your claims. It will vary depending on where you are making the claim and what the claim is. For example, supporting a claim on your packaging will be much easier than supporting a claim on a television commercial. This is because your claim support will have to be approved by the regulatory people who work for the television network. But the overriding rule about claims is that it is illegal to promote false advertising. If you are making a claim about your product, you have to be able to demonstrate that what you're saying is true. As I said earlier, there are many well-established methods for substantiating common claims in the cosmetic industry. You should learn how to do all of these tests related to whatever product you're working on. However, many of the most novel claims will not have standard support methods, and you'll have to devise a test for yourself. This is where you can be creative, and it can actually be a rather fun aspect of the job. You can take an entire course on substantiating claims, so we can't cover everything here, but I want to finish this show with an example from my career of substantiating a claim. I was working on a hair care line for which our marketing group wanted to claim that the product made hair X times stronger. Now, there are many ways to look at hair strength, but one characteristic of strong hair is that it should be more resistant to breakage. So we figured if we could show a difference in the number of hairs that are broken during styling, we would be able to substantiate the claim that hair was technically stronger, at least from that aspect. One method of testing this would be to treat the hair, comb tresses, and then count the number of broken hairs. If the treatment had less broken hairs than the control, we could make a strength claim based on the difference. Now, the problem is that this would be extremely difficult to control the force of each combing stroke through the hair. That's when we got the robotic combing arm. We were able to program a robotic comb to comb a tress a certain amount of times with a certain force. We arbitrarily picked 100 strokes, and then when we ran the test comparing the number of tresses treated with our shampoo and conditioner system versus a simple shampoo tress, we found that the control tress lost about 100 hairs, while the treated tress lost only 10 hairs. That led to the claim 10 times stronger. Of course, there were a few questionable aspects of this method. For example, is hair breakage really a fair definition of hair strength? turns out our lawyers thought that it was reasonable. Also, isn't it obvious that a conditioner-treated truss will result in less breakage than a non-conditioned truss? Yes, it is obvious, and any other brand could have made this claim, but they weren't, so our company got to do it first. We did provide a disclaimer explaining how the support for that claim was done and that it was versus shampoo treatment alone, which is pretty common that you'll see in the hair care segment. But that is the way claim substantiation goes. You try to be scientific in the way that you do things, but don't fool yourself into thinking that the testing would pass as good science. It usually isn't, but claim substantiation is more like proving things in a court of law, not proving things as in a scientific journal. You should always keep in mind when viewing someone else's claim and come up with support for your own claims. Finally, here are some tips to follow when coming up with claim support tests. First, don't fool yourself. This isn't hard science. Always use adequate controls also. Always make sure your tests are blinded so you don't bias the results. Be aware of any holes in your experiments and your arguments. And finally, never fudge the data, no matter how much your marketing people want you to make a claim. Always be an ethical scientist.
Today's challenge.
As we've discussed, formulating is only one of the responsibilities of cosmetic chemists. An equally challenging task is to come up with the claims and tests that will support the claim that your marketing people want to make. Since this is a pretty specific task, it would be helpful to go through a variety of products and figure out how they support the claims they make. In today's challenge, I want you to pick a product and analyze the claims. Specifically, you should first identify the unique claims, then come up with ideas on how to support those claims. Remember, every claim on a package or in advertising has to be truthful and it has to be supported. When analyzing claims, you'll want to follow a process. Here's a simple procedure. Step 1, get the label copy and ingredient list. Step 2, figure out what claims need to be supported. And step 3, figure out how they might have supported that. Here is an example of how you might analyze a shampoo. I first go to drugstore.com to get all the information about the product. They almost always have a list of ingredients and the claims from the label copy from the bottles. Here's one. Liquid Keratina Infusing Healthy Hair Defrizz Shampoo gently cleans hair while drenching it with keratin proteins for improved strength, shine, and manageability. Moisturizes as it protects hair from sun damage, leaving even frizzy hair silky smooth. Developed for all hair types and suitable for natural or color-treated hair, all liquid keratin aftercare products help prolong and improve the results of liquid keratin 30-day straight, smooth, strong, and long treatment. All aftercare products are paraben and sodium chloride free. It's also helpful to have the ingredient list, which I'll provide in the show notes. It contains things like water, ammonium lauryl sulfate, aloe, etc. Just check the show notes. You can see the complete lists. Now that we've got the copy, let's list some of the claims. By my count, there's about 10 claims here. One claim is liquid keratin infusing healthy hair defrizz shampoo. That's just the identifier claim. Number 2, gently cleans hair. Number 3, drenching it, which is the hair, with keratin proteins. Number 4, for improved strength, shine, and manageability. Number 5, moisturizes. Number 6, protects hair from sun damage. Number 7, leaving even frizzy hair silky smooth. Number 8, developed for all hair types and suitable for natural or color-treated hair. Number 9, help prolong and improve the results of liquid keratin strong and long treatment. And finally, number 10, paraben and sodium chloride free. You see, I had to pick apart some of the sentences because there are multiple claims being made in a single sentence. Okay, the next step, how might they support these claims? These are all relatively easy to support because they don't make any really incredible claims. So the first claim about it being what the product is. This is just an identification of the product and it's required. And the fact that it is what it says it is enough support. The second claim, since this is a shampoo that contains surfactants, it will clean the hair. Gently is a relative term on some undefined scale, so it can be used for pretty much any personal care product. Yes, it's gently cleansing compared to, say, hydrochloric acid. The third claim, this claim is supported by having keratin proteins in the formula. And indeed they do. Keratin is right there on the ingredient list. The fourth claim, this is a subtle claim where the consumer might think that the keratin is going to improve strength, shine, and manageability, but that is not exactly what the claim says. It says that the shampoo cleans for improved strength, shine, and manageability. You can support these claims for any shampoo using standard tests like a Diastron for strength and Train panels for shine and manageability. In truth, these claims for shampoo are so ubiquitous, people often just skip doing the supportive tests. The fifth claim is making a moisturizing claim from a shampoo. It's as easy as all you have to do is include moisturizing ingredients in the formula. You know, they could point to a number of ingredients, but polyquaternium 10 is in their formula for supporting moisturization. The sixth claim, here's a claim which I'm hard-pressed to figure out how they support. Typically, you would put some kind of sunscreen in the formula and just say that it is providing protection. But I don't see one on their list, so exactly how they claim that it protects the hair from sun damage, I do not know. The seventh claim, pretty much any conditioning shampoo is going to smooth out frizzy hair. They don't really quantify the term smooth, so it becomes easier to support. Just the addition of that polyquaternium 10 is going to help with that. The eighth claim is simple to support because it refers to what the company was thinking when they created the product, so there's no extra support that's required. The ninth claim, this claim just means that it works with one of their other products. Again, it is supported in the same way as the previous one. The support is in their intention. And then the tenth claim, that it's free from parabens and sodium chloride. Free from claims are easy enough to support. You just don't add those ingredients to your formula, and they're not listed on their ingredient list, so the support is simple. Going through the claims of a competitive product is a useful and helpful exercise that will build up your ability to create and support your own claims. This particular product did not have any extraordinary claims, so it wasn't too hard to support everything they wanted to say. Now it's your turn. Find a product, list the claims, and write down how you think they might support that claim. If you want, go to the comments section in the show notes and post your analysis of the product claims. If you have any questions there, I'd be happy to answer questions. I'll also give you my thoughts there too. Remember, this is an exercise you can do over and over and learn something new every time. I encourage you to give it a try today. Well, that's today's program. Thanks so much for listening. In tomorrow's program, we'll be turning our attention back to the cosmetic industry, covering the main companies you find in the industry. If you have found this series helpful, please go to the comments section and leave a comment. Also, be sure to share it with your friends and colleagues who you think might benefit from it. As always, don't forget to subscribe to us in iTunes or any other podcast playing service that you use. Also, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes. The iTunes reviews really help in upping the profile of the show and letting more people find the show. If you found these podcasts helpful, please share it with anyone and everyone that you know who else might be interested. You can also follow us on Twitter, we're at Chemist Corner, and like us on Facebook. Additionally, we have our Cosmetic Science Forum, and I encourage everyone to go sign up and participate in discussions about cosmetic formulating. You can get lots of your questions answered there, and it's also free. It's at chemistcorner.com/cosmeticsciencetalk. Thanks again for listening. I'm Perry Romanowski. Now, go make a difference.